Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The big story over the weekend, of course, was the RTE stars not social distancing. Let me just go through this very slowly for you if I can. Sinn Féin, by the way, another bombshell this morning for Sinn Féin. They emailed thousands of party members and supporters with the full details of Bobby Storey's funeral arrangements. Do you remember the funeral that happened back in June the 30th? All the trouble was over, which is now being, by the way, investigated by the police service in Northern Ireland. And the funeral was attended by the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, her predecessor Gerry Adams, her deputy Michelle O'Neill, who eventually did apologise, well, half-heartedly apologise. But it seems at the time they said they didn't actively encourage people to go to the funeral. But now it seems in a leaked email they did. They actually sent an email to all its supporters and members telling them all the arrangements for the funeral. And obviously they wanted their support, etc, etc. So it does seem that they went against the guidelines when they were telling everybody else, of course, at the time, to limit their attendance to funerals, because they would have been the guidelines in the pandemic at the time, and still are to this day. Then we had Golfgate, which is still ongoing, of course, with People Before Profit now demanding the resignation and a motion of no confidence with regards to the Supreme Court judge. And this is, of course, Seamus Wolfe. And at the time of that event, you may remember Sean O'Rourke from RTE had his future engagements with the company cancelled. Minister for Agriculture Dara Cleary, Senator Jerry Buttimer, Phil Hogan, EU Trade Commissioner, all were forced to resign ministerial positions and step away from their roles, including six other members who lost the party whip at the time. All got punished even though they apologised. Now we have the presenters of RTE who were responsible for imparting the guidelines, challenging those who don't adhere to them, as well as challenging politicians who implement them, although it has been argued that RTE in particular don't challenge the state enough, and many people listening to this show and many other shows view RTE as being biased towards the state. Now, the primetime presenter Miriam O'Callaghan, newsreader and former presenter for primetime David McCullough, former newsreader and current affairs broadcaster Brian Dobson, newsreader Eileen Dunn, the head of news himself John Williams, presenter Blondie Nick Coffey, and their political reporter Paul Cunningham. You couldn't make this up. The whole newsroom, essentially, well, Blondie is not in the newsroom, she's just a presenter, weren't social distancing. They're at the going away party for Phil Collins. That's not the singer Phil Collins, by the way. She works in the station. But the going away party for her, where there was no social distancing. So the argument people are making on Twitter and social media is they don't actually believe their own advice that they're imparting on a regular basis every night. Now, all of the above have apologised. Every single one of them, including the judge and all the ministers and everybody else, when they were caught. But there are those who say they all should step down from their positions because they're promoting guidelines, and because they promote the guidelines, they've now been compromised as they actively tell others what they should and shouldn't do. And that's what happened with politicians when we said politicians implemented guidelines. And because of that, they should step down because they're compromised in that situation. Now, I'm going to lay my cards on the table and say I don't believe they should be asked to resign. They've apologised, but I would have to be fair to say I don't believe any of the politicians should have lost their positions either, because it would be unfair of me and I'd be a hypocrite if I said that RTE shouldn't be fired, RTE stars should be fired, and politicians should have been. But there are examples of this, and let me give you a very quick example that I gave earlier on in the office when we were chatting about it in the office. If Simon Harris was caught not social distancing tomorrow, I believe he probably should resign. If Michael McNamara, the TD, independent TD, was caught not social distancing, I don't believe he should resign. And the reason I say that is because one actively promotes the guidelines, whereas the other challenges them constantly. And that's what I'm saying. So there are people in the media, for example, like myself, maybe who actively challenges the guidelines. And if I was caught in a photograph with my arm around somebody, I wouldn't apologise for it personally, by the way. But anyway, should I have to resign or be fired? Absolutely not, because I don't actively seek out to promote them. The radio station, of course, does as a whole, because that's our job and I'm meant to be impartial. But I want to know if you believe that people in the public or the private sector who go out and break the guidelines and are seen to be publicly breaking the guidelines, should they lose their jobs? That's the question. Should people, be they political, be they in the media, or whatever it happens to be, should people lose their jobs or be fired if indeed, particularly people who work for the state, if indeed they are in breach of guidelines set out by the state? Let me know what you think. The number is 0871880008. That's 0871880008. Now, let me first of all go to David McManus, who's the Deputy Mayor of Dublin County Council. Good afternoon to you, David.
Niall, how are things?
Well, I mean, there's a kind of litany of people who we've seen breaking the guidelines, including Sinn Féin, including politicians at Golfgate, and now the stars of RTE who actively promote the guidelines. Are you? I don't think you're calling for them to have to resign or anything like that, are you?
No, I don't think we need to see people lose their jobs or their careers, but I think the least the public can expect in a state body like RTE is that there has to be some level of accountability. RTE is the state broadcaster. They get 189 million in state funding. 189 million that RTE gets.
And these presenters are very well paid people, by the way, can we point out?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to try and personalise it, but the RTE statement they put out, it fails to mention if any individuals will face any consequences at all from this fiasco. The RTE presenters offered an apology, but it's just words. The response from RTE has been bizarre and inadequate. When they had the four presenters appearing on radio and TV on Friday and over the weekend, some of whom were then going on to question public officials and government ministers. And looking at social media over the weekend, I think it's clear now that a lot of Ireland's top media personalities are almost afraid of speaking out against RTE. It's like as if there's a code of silence that exists because these media personalities, they don't want to run the risk of being blacklisted from RTE shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking the question, who's in charge of RTE? Where is their director general? Where is the management? RTE have the same guests on every week talking about their new book, their new TV program, how their restaurant is doing. These celebrities are very active with their opinions, got big followings on social media, but none of them now seem happy to speak up and challenge RTE.
And I know, and I do get you, and I do work in RTE from time to time because I'm a panellist there, but I'm quite happy to talk about what has happened over the weekend and what has happened, should I say, on Thursday. I mean, these pictures were originally put out actually on RTE's website. Somebody told me this morning, which is quite bizarre, that they would openly put them up themselves and not even think about the consequences of that. But in saying that, they will argue that they said social distancing was kept at the party. It was just this particular moment in time where they took a picture. Now, may be the case.
Who's organising parties? We're in level 5. When Golfgate happened, restrictions were a lot less. I'm not trying to justify that. But right now, who's organising parties? Like, who's accountable for this?
Okay, and I'm not disagreeing with you, David.
What we need to do now is there should be a prime time investigate programme into RTE. When you turn on RTE today, and they talk about it, they're going to say there's no spokesperson available, there's no one available to come on the show and explain what happened. Why don't these RTE journalists walk down the corridor and put a camera and microphone outside the manager's office, and when they walk outside, ask them for their reaction? That's what they do whenever there's a political scandal.
So you believe that impartiality goes both ways? Yes, absolutely.
There are great people in RTE who are unfortunately have been let down by all this. There's some great staff, great journalists in RTE who do a great job. But who's accountable and who's in charge?
The problem for the HSE and for the government is, and we all remember, of course, Dominic Cummings in the UK, of course, who's now finished and resigned. But when he went off on his little outing for the day, according to research, it undermined the government and also it reduced people's confidence in guidelines. Now you've got, I said, you couldn't make this up. You've got everybody responsible on RTE News and Current Affairs, including the head of News and Current Affairs, taking selfies or with each other with our arms around each other. Actually, it was quite ironic with Eileen Dunn's photograph. They're standing on a sign that says social distancing, which is quite bizarre. But anyway, you couldn't make it up. So these are the people telling everybody else at 6 o'clock or on prime time or whatever it is, talking to a government minister, you know, you must stick by the guidelines. It's tough for everybody. We're all in this together. And there they are. And people are saying online, they don't even believe their own advice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, none of us are perfect. We can all make mistakes. You hold your hands up and apologize.
Absolutely.
That was done. But these presenters should not have been on the 6-1 news, on the news at 1, on the 9 o'clock news, in some cases questioning government officials, questioning government ministers about the lockdown measures. In any other...
Do you think they're compromised, Davis? Do you think they're compromised?
Well, put it like this. In any other workplace, if there's a serious breach of responsibility or guidelines, you'd be told, you're going home today, you're suspended for 2 weeks, there's going to be an investigation and we'll go from there. That shows the public that there is accountability and there are consequences. I'll say it again, no one should lose their job, no one should lose their career.
Okay, well then if you're saying that, David, let's go back to Phil Hogan, let's go back to Dala Khalili, let's go back to Senator Jerry Buttimer, the EU Trade Commissioner, of course, Phil Hogan, I mentioned already, Supreme Court Judge Seamus Wolfe, People Before Profit are calling for a motion now for him to resign as well. He's apologised at least three times at this stage. He said he went to the party. The guidelines had been implemented 24 hours previously. He wasn't really aware that he was doing anything wrong. Well, look, that's what he says anyway. And basically has apologised. They all apologise, but they all lost their positions. So should they not have lost their positions?
Well, a bit late now for Sean O'Rourke, a bit late now for Phil Hogan. The Socialist Party are now chasing after
Seamus
Wolfe. Yeah. And I think the difficulty for politicians is that there has to be a separation of powers between the judiciary and politicians.
Yeah, but leaving aside the separation of power, do you believe Seamus Wolfe should resign?
I think he's apologised. I think none of us are perfect.
Absolutely. So, in other words, what you're saying is you can't be defined. Your life and career can't be defined by a mistake you made in your life.
I think it would be disproportionate to say that someone's going to be removed from the Supreme Court because of a mistake that they made in this case. That's just my view.
Okay. So you don't go along with, I suppose, some of the commentary that was around by people at the time. Well, I didn't go to my dad's funeral. I didn't visit my dying mother in hospital because I stuck by the guidelines.
The Socialist Party this week are going to waste public time and valuable time in the Dáil.
And nothing's going to happen.
This motion. What we should be discussing is how we try and reopen the economy safely, because there are people out there who can't pay their mortgages, who have their income reduced.
Couldn't agree with you more.
This is where the focus should be for politicians.
These are distractions.
And RTE could have handled this a lot better if they just showed on day one, yes, there will be accountability, and yes, there will be consequences. It's a bit Irish having four presenters appearing on radio and TV on the same day they were caught red-handed, and here they are questioning public officials and government ministers about lockdown measures.
See, I think RTE would find it very difficult to suspend the individuals involved because they make up, I suppose, two of their main programmes, which is the news and prime time, which is the biggest news and current affairs programme. So I think suspension might be even a little bit tough from a staffing point of view.
But there's loads of great staff in RTE. There's loads of presenters in there who step in and present the news.
Mm-hmm.
But how can a presenter be talking about government measures and lockdown measures and questioning the Minister for Justice and the 6-1 news when moments earlier we've just seen that they didn't follow the rules of the lockdown measures? No one's perfect. We can all make mistakes, but there should be a clear sense of accountability. So where's management? RTE management are now gone into hiding. They won't even talk to their own radio programs about what happened. But why don't these RTE journalists walk down the corridor, stick on a camera and a microphone, and when the manager walks out, ask them these questions, get the reaction? That's what they do if there's a political scandal. They wait outside the minister's office and he walks out, they put the microphone in front of them, and ask them these questions.
But in saying, I get what you're saying, and I'm not completely disagreeing with you, but a few minutes ago, David, you accepted, say, that Seamus Wolfe apologised, which he did, and I believed it was a very sincere apology he gave in writing, right? We accepted that, you know, Dara Callery apologised, although he lost his position as Minister for Agriculture. Jerry Buttermer, Phil Hogan, they've all apologised, right? Although Phil Hogan took a little bit longer to apologise. But in saying, we've accepted they've all apologised, so we kind of should move on from that. So if we should move on from that, why don't we move on from RTE as well, then, if they have apologised? And you know, they were sincere apologies live on television or live in radio.
Yeah, a number of politicians and political figures resigned. I think in the case of Seamus Wolfe, the idea was put out that he would take some sort of suspension on pay and then there'd be a financial penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for that to happen in RTE. All I'm asking for is some level of accountability.
Okay.
RTE is the state broadcaster. They get 189 million. 189 million in state funding. Like, this is pretty basic. This is not...
I'm not disagreeing with you. They are state broadcasters, unlike ourselves, who would be independently run, right? And, you know, we pay for our own bills here. But David, can I ask you a question? You don't have to be completely well. You can. I'd like you to be honest. Have you ever broken any of the guidelines?
I've done my very best, like a lot of people have out there, to restrict movements, to reduce social contacts. To be honest, the past 4 weeks I've been essentially housebound. I work from home on the laptop, which is great. Mm-hmm. I do my work for South Dublin County Council. I walk the dog, go for short walks, stick with my family. If I'm out and about, people will come up to me because I'm a councillor and they ask me about some local issue that needs to be done or fixed, but I immediately try and step back and keep a safe distance because I don't want to be coming a close contact with people to protect me, protect my family and protect the other person as well. So we all have to try and work together.
The way I look at it is, and the way I do it from my point of view, is that some people worry more about it than maybe I do, right? And we all have our different views on, you know, on what we should and shouldn't be doing and restrictions and lockdowns and whether they're disproportionate, etc., etc. And I take the lead from other people. So in other words, if I believe that somebody is a person who likes a lot of social distance or if they want me to wear a mask near them, I'll do that. I respect their views. And that's all I can do, if you get what I say. But if I'm with a like-minded person, or somebody who's like-minded to me, then I wouldn't be as conscious of it. And I think in the case of RT, that's probably what happened on this particular occasion.
Yeah, I don't believe it was an impromptu gathering.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, it was clearly arranged. There was balloons and everything there, for God's sake.
And people make mistakes, that's fair enough. I think with the retirement party, I think they should have said, look, we're not going to have a retirement party. Let's wait 6 months or 12 months. If restrictions are eased in some way, the person can come back in, have their little get-together and acknowledge the hard work they've done in RT. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But this is, like, we're at level 5 right now. We're not at level 2.
Yeah.
And there should be clear accountability in RTE, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And RTE management are now gone into hiding.
All right. Well, listen, it's a well-made point. Listen, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on the air. Thank you very much indeed. And that is the... Sorry, I've had to lose it there for a second. David McManus, listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on. Now, I've got some audio here. That I want you to listen to in relation to RTE. People are sending in their WhatsApp messages already. I want to know if you believe, not just about RTE, by the way, in general, if people break guidelines, should they have to resign or lose their jobs, be they in public sector, private sector, or does it depend where they work?
Niall, how can any of these RTE presenters hold a straight face the next time they have to grill anybody about COVID restrictions? The hypocrisy is just unbelievable at this stage. Somebody needs to go in that organisation.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody needs to go, according to him.
Niall, I don't think they should lose their job, if I'm honest. But there has to be some kind of repercussion for people like that. They can't spend their whole day fear-mongering, spreading it all over the place, and then just not adhere to themselves, but point the finger at someone else, does it?
Yeah, well, if somebody texts in and says, Niall, they clearly don't believe their own advice, and this is the advice they would give out in RTE. But it would be fair to say that every presenter, or radio presenter, or television presenter, or politician don't believe the advice of the government, or don't believe all the advice in the government, or disagree with some of the advice and hold a personal opinion. But if they breach the advice by the government, I suppose they're challenging the state. So should people lose their jobs? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Ger, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Ger?
Hey, Niall. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. But Ger, I mean, if I go back a couple of months after Golfgate, we were all demanding heads on plates.
We were, yeah. But, you know... Look, when I was first listening to this, I was just saying I was extremely angry. You know, I'm anti-restrictions anyway. That's just my point. That's my opinion. We shouldn't be doing this.
Okay.
But then for the people that are tricking us into this kind of thing, to be out partying like that, it just builds
Well, when
rage,
you say the people,
you know,
tricking us into it, they're only imparting the government guidelines. Bias, as you may believe it is, and I'm not disagreeing with you completely.
Misleading us. Let's say misleading us then, to be nicer about it. But look, I'm just looking at it again. I'm thinking, do you know what? If the rest of the country can see that these people don't care about the restrictions, maybe the rest of the country will follow suit. And maybe it's a good thing, from my point.
Well, a lot of people would say, it isn't a good thing. I mean, that's, you should follow the guidelines. And that's just my job to tell you that, by the way.
I know that. I'm well aware of your opinion. I'm only sharing my opinion. I'm anti-restriction, you know.
That's okay.
These people are out apologising like it's sincere. But I really just believe they're apologising they were caught. They're not apologising for what they did at all. They'll be having that same party tomorrow. You just won't hear about it tomorrow.
But I'm pretty certain. Yeah, but I'm pretty certain when you look right across the board of politicians, television presenters, radio presenters, I'm sure at some point they've all broken a guideline or two, as most people in the general public probably have, gone over their 5K or whatever.
Live a life under these
but when you're saying they're apologising because they're caught, well, most people would be in the same position. They would only apologise if they were caught.
True, but an awful lot of us, if we get caught doing this type of thing, there's Garda involved and there's fines being thrown at, or threats of fines being thrown at you. So, you know, these people are just, don't fine us, don't get the Garda involved. We just won't get caught the next time.
By the way, Ger, because you said you don't agree with the guidelines, do you keep your social distance?
I would anyway. I wouldn't be that social a creature anyway. The life I lead, I kind of stay away from people anyway.
Yeah, well, I've always been, before guidelines, I'm kind of reasonably antisocial. When I say antisocial, I don't mean that in a negative, rude way. I'm nice to people, but I don't mix with a big circle of friends anyway.
I'd be the same. I would say it this way. I don't go out my way to break any restrictions. I don't go out my way to do anything that's against the guidelines, but... If I want to go to shops, I'll go to shops. If I want to go see my family, I will go see my
And will
my
you wear family. A mask in the shop? Yes.
No. Well, I have two sides to that. I don't agree with the mask, but I also can't wear a mask. I mentioned before, I have chronic rhinitis.
Oh, okay.
And it causes causes a lot of problems.
Okay, well, then you have a genuine reason for not wearing it. That's fine.
Problems, yeah.
Okay, can I ask you a question then? If you didn't have a genuine, you know, health reason for not wearing a mask, would you wear one just to plumass people?
No. I probably just wouldn't go into the shop.
Well, see, I do. You know, and when I go into a shop, out of respect for others, I wear it. It's not because of my opinion. It's out of respect for others that I just do it.
I agree. I know what you're saying. I don't really agree. But I know there's plenty of people working in the shops who, by the way, Dunn's people, Tesco people, bus drivers, they're not ending up in hospital sick, and they've been working for 9 months through this epidemic, or this pandemic, you know. But a lot of people in them shops are being forced to wear a mask, and they don't want it. The workers.
By the way, can I just point out, I can't imagine what it must be like to work an 8-hour shift with a mask on you all the time.
Look, I don't want to mention names.
I'm sure it's very uncomfortable, and I know people are making great sacrifices doing that.
I don't want to mention names because a doctor said to me, like, she's working in the hospital and she's in bits wearing this mask, like, the nonsense. But they have to because it's policy. Even though medical centres have an exemption, the doctors are still being forced to wear these, and nurses are being forced to wear these.
They would be more used to it than most people anyway, I suppose, because they've been wearing it some of the time.
They wouldn't have to wear the constantness that they're wearing them at the moment.
You know, okay, we're going off the subject a bit. So getting back to people who have, you know, publicly broken the guidelines, people who were responsible, I suppose, for imparting that information to us, be it politicians or RTE news and current affairs staff. The politicians lost their jobs. Well, they were asked to resign. We're not going to hear that from RTE. They've apologised. Do you accept the apology?
I think it's not a sincere apology. And I kind of go with your last comment and say, they shouldn't lose their jobs. That is a bit too harsh for just spending a few moments having a bit of a party. Should we pause on that? Like, but there should be a repercussion. There should be a 2-week suspension or...
Well, we'll say that. Let me go to Martin as well.
That doesn't happen again. Like, you know?
Yeah, well, Martin, hang on. Martin, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Martin?
Oh, not too bad now. How are you?
How you doing? Martin, you know, firing people, which I'm hearing a lot of people talking about, I think it's a bit ridiculous to do somebody for that, for a moment in time, to take somebody's whole career away from them.
Again, obviously we've sort of bordered into the cancel culture and that kind of thing happens, but there has to be a certain benchmark that we have for, you know, people who either impart the information to us or create the guidelines. I mean,
does it matter who the person is?
It does, because it's levels of responsibility, isn't it?
Okay, let's be clear. Everyone knows my opinion, right, at this stage, because I've been on the air all the way through this, right? Mm. So if I was in a picture tomorrow, you know, and I had my arm around Aisling if she was leaving or something like that for a selfie, should I be suspended? Even though I've told everybody all along that I believe the restrictions are completely disproportionate. Should I?
Well, you shouldn't, because you have a standpoint that you don't agree with all the restrictions.
No, I do, but I do promote them as well, because it's my job as well to do that.
Yeah, but there's an understanding that you are somebody who is challenging the system. You know, the situation is that the people in RTE are not people who are challenging the system. They have and obviously as a state broadcaster, there's a public responsibility in what they do. Now, they can either turn around and say, yeah, I don't believe in this, so I won't promote it, and walk off and do another job. I mean, we all say, go and do another job if you don't believe in it. You know, but again, we it's all part of these mixed messages. They obviously don't believe, that the situation that we're in warrants the level of restrictions that we're having to be put through. And I think that's the general consensus of most people I talk to, is that the government are off on sailing down one river on their own, ideas of what should be done, and the public are just trying to get on with life the best they can.
I mean, you heard this morning, of course, this letter by Sinn Féin sent out to all its members to support Bobby Storey's funeral. I mean, in other words, they were, it seems to me, actively seeking people to go and support the funeral, thousands, which would have been a breach of guidelines. Yeah, and yet there, Michelle O'Neill is the one who's, you know, standing by the guidelines in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, again, it's just the meridian of mixed messages and mixed standpoints we get on this particular subject. But, you know, we have a situation where, you know, these presenters have been on television and given their apology, and I would say it's probably the most ugliest point in their career to have having to.
Very embarrassing, I imagine. Yeah.
Very embarrassing. I mean, you know, I saw
for a 5-minute get together, probably. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but then if we're saying they shouldn't be fired, and I agree with you, right? Yeah. If we're saying and our previous caller Jera mentioned suspension as well, and you've mentioned suspension upon investigation, because there will be an investigation, I believe, to go before the Oireachtas Committee in relation to it. Well, then, so we're all saying that now. level-headed. So should Dara Callery, Minister for Agriculture, Jerry Butmer, Phil Hogan, Sean O'Rourke, who was told by RTE they cancelled future engagements, should they all be given their positions back?
No, because... Because one's a legislator who creates the rules.
Sean O'Rourke is not a legislator.
And the other ones are followers.
But Sean O'Rourke is not a legislator. He worked for RTE. He had only actually resigned from RTE recently, but he had planned to do some other work with RTE in the future, which is now being cancelled. So should RTE apologise now to Sean O'Rourke and say, well, I'm sorry, Sean, yeah, you've been punished enough. We're going to take you back on doing a bit of work at the weekends or whatever it is, or subcontracting shows or whatever. If we're putting sanctions against people or even Seamus Wolfe, I mean, the man's apologised 3 times.
Yeah, but Seamus Wolfe's a different political animal, and I think it's a complete oxymoron.
And he's apologised.
Yeah, but it's a complete oxymoron when you've got somebody who's supposed to be there as a professional person to be able to adjudicate that he's past judgment.
But Miriam O'Callaghan and David McCullough are adjudicating, are they not? Brian Dobson,
the newsreader. But they're adjudicating, but not to the level Seamus Wolfe is, where your life depends on his... or your outcomes depend on his level of judgment. You don't have that kind of carry on with a TV or radio presenter. You know, we can all pick ourselves up and get on with life, whatever has been said. But, you know, these people are supposed to be at the highest level of adjudication.
Okay, so you're happy enough with what happened in the past, and I know people before Profit are demanding a motion of no confidence. I don't believe that's going to do any good. I think it's a complete waste of time, to be honest with you. He's not going to resign, and that's the end of it.
Well, I know, because he's a thick stick in the mud like any other Fine Gaeler. He just thinks he's entitled to be in the position he is because the political... Herman Göring.
You're making a very unfair comparison there, and with the greatest respect, the man went to a bloody party. Okay, it was against the guidelines. I'm not saying it wasn't, but let's not compare. You're making ridiculous comparisons. Okay, but getting back to RTE presenters, you believe an investigation by RTE, and I agree, by the way, with the councillor earlier on, what he said to David earlier on, there should be a full investigation because they're meant to be impartial. It should be covered on prime time, because it would be if it was politicians or if it was anybody else. And maybe a suspension, you believe, or 2 week suspension to, I suppose. To,
yeah, you need something that says, yeah, this is something that's been, acknowledged as a misdemeanor.
Okay, well, hang on, because I've got to go to break. Somebody says, it's not your job to advise people of following guidelines. Well, actually, it is my job as a public broadcaster under the Broadcasting Authority Rules of Ireland. I must tell people what the guidelines are from the state because that's part of our remit and our licence remit for having a radio station. Stop saying it's your job, you liar, Boylan. And asking people to be punished is asking for yourself to be punished further down the line with fines, etc. for leaving your house, says Brian. Well, Brian, I have to leave my house to be here. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to broadcast in the middle of the street or something like that? Somebody else says, surely broadcasters shouldn't be able to travel outside the 5 kilometre zone. Well, how the hell are we supposed to get to work? It's considered to be a necessary service. For God's sake. How do doctors and nurses get to work? How does the bus driver get to work? How does the person who works in your local Tesco's get to work? They don't all live within 5 kilometres of the shop. There are people who were allowed, because their class is a necessary service, to travel outside the 5 kilometre zone. The person says, funded by the government, funded by the public, to a life tax with a TV licence, the propaganda machine for the government created fear to the public with showing stats and cases and deaths every single day. So someone should get the brunt of it. All right, let me know, do you believe that people in general, I don't just talk about RTE, but politicians or anybody, indeed in public or private sector, if you breach the guidelines, should you have to resign or lose your job? Seems the way everybody's talking at the moment. Don't want to be on the air. Today was the first time I've listened to Niall since my son passed away 2 months ago. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that. My condolences to you and your family and your friends. But anyway, he goes on to say, I just want to say that those who broke the COVID rules should apologise to the public who have lost their family members over these 8 months. Over these months. And still, we stuck to the rules. My brother passed 8 months ago and got what we could only call the loneliest funeral ever. My son got a slightly bigger funeral as level 3 was in place. But neither neither got the funeral they deserved. Yet we follow the rules and our families did. It's horrible for them to report what we should be doing, yet they can do what they like. They should at least apologise, at very least. Well, they did apologise, can I just say, by the way, in relation to all the individuals that I've spoken about today, including the politicians, Sinn Féin, although Michelle O'Neill's apology was a little bit half-hearted, but anyway, she did apologise, and this letter broke this morning saying they actively seeked out people to go to the funeral. And the RTE presenters, well, obviously, one, Blondin Nikovic, we haven't seen her on TV, or I don't know if she's been on radio apologising or not, but the rest of them have all apologised. Brian Dobson, I'm assuming, will as well. They've all apologised. So should anything else be done about it, or should that be the end of it? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Maura, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Maura?
Terrible.
Hello, Maura.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. You're breaking up just a little bit. Just move your head slightly, but go ahead,
Maura. I will indeed. I'm moving towards the door.
Okay.
That last story, terrible.
Oh, it was awful, wasn't it? Imagine his brother and his son in the same few months. My gosh.
Awful.
Your line is, Maura, I'd love to hear what you're going to say, but your line is really bad. Can you run up the stairs or do something? Do you want to...
Hang on. You bear with me now.
Okay. It's live radio. There you go. You'd know it was live radio, wouldn't you?
You know what? I'm on a walking stick, Conor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maura.
No, you're all right. The coverage is actually in the bedroom. Right, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now perfectly, Maura.
No,
have a little lie down on the bed there while you're talking to me.
Don't tempt me.
Go ahead, Maura.
Now, I am absolutely fuming. I really, really am. We listen to these people every night at 6 o'clock. Now, I'm not an RTE lover, but I do watch the news at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And we tune in. It scares the living daylights out of the majority of people. And I have been in lockdown since March.
Okay.
You know, and I just think the bloody cheek. I think a right whap on the wrist, and the guards should be involved. They should be in the pocket.
So they should be fined?
They can do that to the general public.
So what, like a month's salary, similar to Seamus Wolfe was asked to take away a month's salary?
I'd take more than a month's salary. Like, they're on some whack in there.
Oh, well, they're on decent money, yeah.
You know, I really do. They have to be taken. I'm not looking for anyone to lose their job. No. That's not fair. But they're preaching to the rest of us. You know, they can knock on your door, like, if you're having a cup of coffee with your mother. You know what I mean? And you can be charged over that.
Yeah, well...
I'm fine, you know?
Well, I don't know if anybody in the country has... That is a guideline. I don't know if anyone's actually being fined for that.
I know,
but the threat is there.
The threat is there.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think it's an awful situation, and it's really, what a letdown. This country has to be the laughing stock of the world.
So if you're saying to me then, okay, and I would absolutely agree with you, by the way, they shouldn't lose their jobs, right?
No.
Overdoing something, you know, I mean, everybody has a lapse, everybody. And I know some people have to be held in account because they're up higher up in a higher position. Yeah. But what about politicians then? Should politicians, let's say, for example, Simon Harris was out tomorrow and there was a picture of him with his arm around somebody on the street. Should he lose his job?
Yeah.
Should he?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's the difference?
Well, he was the Minister for Health.
Yep.
And to me, in my mind, he'd done a great job at the very beginning of this COVID.
Yeah.
So to do something like that with his arm around somebody, absolutely, his job should be taken from under him, even though he's no longer the Minister for Health.
And to reiterate, Simon Harris hasn't, but because he's a promoter of the legislation, you believe?
Yeah, of course. So lose the job.
And what about a judge, for example? Seamus Wolfe, you've heard a lot of recently, the Supreme Court judge who people before probably...
Well, he's not going to step down. I don't know. I don't think there's a way of removing him anyway.
No, there isn't. No, because
there's not a lot to be said on that, you know.
Okay, but do you believe he should step down?
Yeah.
Okay, because he's somebody that we trust his judgment.
Of course, yeah.
And we now don't trust his judgment.
Yeah.
You could equally argue the same about RTE. These are people who are going to go on television on primetime and RTE over the next few days and attempt to challenge somebody who has broke the guidelines and say you shouldn't be doing that.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's kind of compromised them, hasn't it, somewhat?
Compromised me.
Okay, well, stay there. Let me go, Frank. Sure. Stay there, more for a second. Frank, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Frank?
How are you, Niall?
You know, I agree with everybody that nobody should... I don't believe anybody should lose their job, personally. I think the sanctions should be different depending on who that person happens to be. But we did take the jobs off politicians recently for Golfgate.
Remember poor old Jesus came across that woman being stoned, do you remember?
Oh yeah.
He who hasn't sinned
cast the first stone. Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, does There's a rubber on the end of a pencil for a reason, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
Made a mistake. Move on. He apologised. And that nice lady there, I'm with you, saying RTE is preaching every night. These people are not preaching to you every night. It's like any news channel's not preaching. They're reading the news. They're given a piece of paper, a directive from a government minister to read out to you. They didn't make it up. They're not personally telling you to do this or that. They're human. And that counsellor you had on earlier, where did you get him from?
But they would say, and people would say, that RTE in particular, and not everybody in the independent radio sector, everybody in radio in general, but RTE in particular, have been very forthright in the way they put forward the guidelines. In other words, that they're biased towards the state.
And many people believe that.
But that's
what people think. Like people think in Area 51 and all this crap, Noel.
You have to be fair. I mean, I've watched an interview there recently, say, for example, with Claire Byrne, who I point out is not in these photographs, by the way, but Claire Byrne interviewing Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, and he was hardly challenged at all. They're just given, these politicians, not all of the time, are given free rein. I mean, David McCullough is a great presenter. Miriam McCallan's a great presenter. You know, Brian Dobson's just a newsreader, although he's a current affairs radio presenter now as well. They are generally, you know, they're good presenters, but a lot of the time that recently they haven't challenged the state too much.
I'll tell you what, Noel. I'm personally sick of this restrictions and COVID crap.
Fair enough.
Now, last week I'm passing by up there in the airport road. You live out that direction, don't you?
Yep.
Later on today, drive by Red Car Park, yeah?
Yep.
Three quarters full. Now, all them gobshites, Noel, aren't there a meeting? Away in Brussels or somewhere, or saving some life. They're away poncing on a beach with nowhere to go, sitting there going, look at me, I'm away in the sun. I'm like, great. No, you're a gobshite. That's where they are. So as long as you've got flights coming in and out of this kip on a daily basis, I'm not taking any of these restrictions serious. Because we're a joke. I listened to the Vintners Association on there this morning, whinging and crying. They want the pubs open in December, just for December, so as we can have a ball. The country will be locked down in January and February, won't you see?
But hang on. You have to put things into perspective. The vintners are on because their members, the pub owners and bar owners, have lost so much money this year. And the big time of the year to make a few quid for them will be the couple of weeks leading up to the Christmas when people are out having a good time.
Noel, I appreciate that.
Do you empathise with them?
Of course I empathise. However, Noel, on this occasion, unfortunately, they're in the wrong business. Businesses go out of business, Noel, on a weekly, yearly basis, from big, massive companies to small, little shops on the corner. Unfortunately for the pubs, pandemic and alcohol don't mix. And unfortunately for them, they're in the wrong business.
Okay, sorry, Maura.
What about the hotels?
Oh, yeah, well, they're in the same boat. Anybody dealing with the general public and the hospitality industry is in a lot of hot water this year.
Yeah.
I mean, wet pubs, realistically, for example, in Dublin, haven't been open since March, realistically.
No.
You know, the food pubs around around the country, and some of the, depending on the level you were at during level three, some of the
wet pubs. Well, I think anyone that was leasing pubs, they will never open again.
No.
But
is that fair? And there's an argument there, and we could go into the whole, I don't want to go into the whole anti-lockdown argument, that, you know, the restrictions and the lockdowns will cause more despair and deaths than the actual COVID-19 itself. You know, that the cure is worse than the disease. But look, I'll come back to that in a second. Stay there if you can for me, Frank. And Maura, have a little lie down while you're upstairs, all right? Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number's 087-188-0008. Do you believe the people, who, particularly those in the public eye, be they politicians or radio presenters or television presenters who break the rules or the guidelines, should they lose their jobs?